Chapter 4. Mother Hears of Murder. The story of Mary's actions on that last Saturday she was alive is told as follows by various witnesses. Memorial Day dawned cloudy and dim. It was a holiday, the first that the little factory girl, who worked so hard from morning till night, had had in many weeks. She planned to go to town right after dinner, get her $1.20 pay at the factory, and spend the rest of the day watching the Confederate Veterans Parade down Peachtree Street. Shortly before noon, she hurriedly ate her simple dinner of cabbage and biscuit, and left the home which she was never destined to see again. She boarded a streetcar for the city about noon. On the car was tow-headed, freckle-faced George Epps, the newsboy that lived near Mary, the little fellow whom she had always liked. They sat together on the car, and before they parted, Mary had promised to meet her little friend at 1 o'clock, and with him watch the boys in gray march. At Marietta and Forsyth Streets, but little over a block from the factory, Mary alighted from the car, according to George Epps, and walked down Forsyth Street, saying that she was going to the factory. This car was due to arrive at the corner of Broad and Marietta Streets, 1 block from where she left it, at 12:07 p.m. Late that evening, George Epps ran over to the Fagan home to find out why Mary had not met him as she promised. He found her mother feverishly worried because Mary had not been home at all. J.W. Coleman, Mary's stepfather, went to town at the solicitation of Mrs. Coleman to see if he could find Mary anywhere. "She might have gone to the Bijou Theatre with some of her girl friends," Mrs. Coleman told her husband. "Wait down there until it gets out and see if you can't find her." Mr. Coleman went to the Bijou, waited until the show was over, watched the streams of faces pass him by, but never saw the face of the little girl he sought. He returned to the home, 146 Lindsay Street, and consoled the grieving mother with the thought that Mary might have gone to Marietta to visit her grandmother. She was always starting to do that, Mr. Coleman told her, and probably she just decided to go after she drew her pay Saturday. The mother's heart was aching, but she managed to quiet all outward fears. Yet all through the long night she was wondering where her little girl was. Early on Sunday morning, April 27th, there came a knock on the door of the Fagan home. The mother's heart told her it was news of Mary, and she flew to the threshold. A white-faced girl stood at the door, her eyes deep with sorrow, her lips hardly able to utter the awful words she came to tell. She was Helen Ferguson, a neighbor. "Mary is," she began. The mother's heart read the rest. "Not dead," she cried, stricken to the depths. "Yes, dead, dead," the girl sobbed, breaking into a storm of weeping. Other members of the family came running to the door. The mother swooned and was supported to a couch within the home. There she lay for days afterwards, unable to speak, save to ask piteously for her little daughter. The news once broken to the Fagan family, Mr. Coleman hastened to town to see the body of the little girl, who had become even more than a daughter to him. At Bloomfield's, the undertakers, Will Gessling, an assistant, showed him the body, and the old man positively identified it. He was but one of many who looked on the body that day and the day following. Morbid curiosity, the same that influenced hundreds to gaze at the blank walls of the pencil factory, and later to stand for hours outside the courtroom where the trial took place, led thousands of people to steal one glance at the corpse of a girl murdered so cruelly and so mysteriously. The largest crowds looked on the body of Mary Fagan that have ever seen a dead body in the history of the city of Atlanta. It is estimated that 20,000 saw the remains while they were at the undertaking establishment, while many hundreds viewed them at the funeral at Marietta. The funeral took place Tuesday afternoon. Before that, however, physicians made an examination of Mary Fagan's body, although the result of their probe was kept a profound secret until the trial. On Tuesday afternoon, April 29th, the body of the little girl was laid to rest in the old family cemetery at Marietta, Georgia, 20 miles from Atlanta, while members of the family and scores of friends stood by, weeping bitterly. On May 7th, the body was exhumed at the order of the state solicitor, and a minute examination was made of the stomach and other vital organs by Dr. H. F. Harris of the State Board of Health. What he found out was known only to himself and the state solicitor until he testified on the witness stand at the trial nearly 3 months later.